We're going to turn tonight in our Bibles to the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. The 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And we are reading from the verse 31 to the verse 37. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, all watch. God will bless his word to our hearts. Tucked away in the scriptures, there are some extra special passages of God's holy and precious word. Sometimes in our reading of the scriptures, we do not pay enough attention to these words. But here in this latter part of the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel, we have some wonderful words. If you look at them with me, you'll find that they start off with a great principle. You'll find that in verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then when you come to the next verse, you have a great perception. And what is that perception? But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. The perception of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you stop today and think that Jesus is coming again? Many believers never think about the second coming of Christ. Never dwell with the joy of it and the promise of it and the power of it. But the Lord here calls us to have a look at this perception, and what a perception it is. The unknown hour, closed out to angels' minds, closed out to the minds of all the earth and all the world. But it is coming, and it's coming in the Father's time. So we have the principle in verse 31. We have the perception in verse 32. And then we have a call to praying. Take ye heed, verse 33. Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. The urge to pray is fastened to the perception that Jesus is coming again. Alas, many of our prayers are not linked. We're not lifting our eyes towards heaven, and we're not saying, Jesus is coming again. And at such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then when we come to verse 34, we have a little parable, a very interesting little parable in the middle of these verses. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far country. The vision of the Son of Man who takes this visit to a far country, who left his house, who gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and command the porter to watch. A very interesting little verse set in here with the parable of the Son of Man as a man taking a journey into a far country. And then we have also here in verse 35, we read these words, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the Master cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest suddenly he finds you sleeping. Yet suddenly, when he comes, as coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. Here we have the punishment that God is going to come to judge his people. We'll not be judged for sin, but we will be judged for service. And how can we serve God if we're sleeping? It's impossible to do it. And so the great sin that is exposed here is the sin of sloth and sleepiness. The church today on this earth at this present moment are busy sleeping. Punishment. And then in verse 37, we come and we see there, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And there you have the mighty word of God in the final exhortation of his people. What's the last word he speaks? The last word he speaks is, watch! Watch! Watch. I want you to look again at those mighty things of principle, perception, praying, the parable and the punishment, and of course the wonder of God saying to His church, watch, be awakened. We have an impregnable book. That's where we start. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Our religion is mounted and rests on the infallible Word of God. God's unchanging truth. Everything in this Bible is true. The devil has been fighting it for years, but he hasn't upset one text of Scripture. All the Scriptures stand, because it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. No one can budge the Bible. The Bible is God's book that cannot be budged. They've brought their brains, and their brains have been shown up for their stupidity. They've brought their strength, and their strength has been shown up for its weakness. The Bible stands. Why does the Bible stand? Because the Bible is His words. But my words shall not pass away. I think if we took up the Bible and when we opened it, we said, I'm about to read the words of my Savior. I'm about to hear the voice of the friend of sinners. I'm going to hear the voice that spoke to me the day I was converted and saved by the grace of God. Then we would have a different idea when we come to take up the Bible. Some people read the Bible with great haste. They look for the smallest chapter, and as quick as they can, they gallop through it, and then they say, I read a chapter of the Bible today. That, of course, is blatant hypocrisy. That is something that must grieve the Lord as it grieves those that know and love this book. This book should have first place. Your only way of communicating with God is through this book. God speaks no other way but through His Word. Heaven and earth may pass away, but His words shall not pass away. So God is calling us back to the principle of His Word. And once we get to love His Word, and once we get to know His Word, and once we get to prove His Word, and once we get the reward of His Word, then we'll look up at the Bible differently. Not be something sitting in the dresser to be pulled out at night, to be read with great brevity, and to be shut up again. But it will be a book that will be living with us. And every moment of every day we have time will be in the book. Someone said to Thomas Chalmers, who was one of the founders of the Free Church of Scotland, he said, Mr. Parson, you're always at the book. I remember a time, Mr. Parson, when you weren't at the book. You used to be out shooting and laying nets and doing all sorts of things. And then one day something happened and you started to become a man of the book. Thomas Chalmers said, yes, something happened. I met the author of the book. And when I met the author of the book, I fell in love with him. And I fell in love with his words. Do we love his word? Well, if you love his word, you'll obey it. You will obey it. The impregnable book. And then when we come to verse 32, we have the impossible dealing. Here is a date that it is impossible for man to discover. He can make his investigations. He can take his degrees. He can tell you that he knows this about mathematics and this about the big noise and the big blunder and the big blunderbuss. He knows everything about that. But he doesn't know the Lord. And the Lord says there's something hid from angels, something concealed in the heart and mind of God. In the place where this day, this great date, this hour that no man knows but the Father. And we're going to see that it was impossible dating to everyone else. But it was in the hidden in the Father's mind. In the Father's bosom. And who was hidden in the Father's bosom? None other than the Christ of God himself. And Jesus is coming again. There'll be some rupture in this old world when Jesus comes again. I don't know whether you've ever sat down and thought, what's going to happen when Jesus comes again? Well, the first thing that is going to happen, you are going to be changed. And everybody will say amen to that, because we all need to be changed. If you got into heaven as you are tonight, think of it. You'd be in the wrong place. You wouldn't like what you would be there, because the old man had not been dealt with. But thank God the old man will be dealt with. There'll be a blow struck at the old man within our system that he'll never breathe again. Hallelujah. And we'll escape from all the things that tie us down now, physically in the flesh. The old things will pass away, and behold, all things shall become new. My dear lady, I have good news for you. You'll be real good looking then. You will. And my brother, you'll be good looking too. Met a man the other day, and I said, you look strange. Oh, he said, I had some special hair treatment, and I had some special skin treatment. And I'm feeling well, says I. Well, you look a fool. So you do. I want to tell you, friend, I will not be visiting some clever ape to get a better face. I will have a reflection on my face, which will be the blessed reflection of the blessed Son of God. We shall be, listen, we shall be like him, but finish it, for we shall see him as he is, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when in rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me? And then we have something you can start doing now. You can start taking heed. You can start watching. And you can start praying You don't know when he's coming, but it's time to take heed. It is a time to watch. It is time to pray. Oh, that God would give us a response to this impassioned plea that is in this text of Scripture. Take ye heed, he said. Watch, be wide awake, pray. Let your knees be ever bent. Let your heart be ever conformed to the image of his will. Yet live in the atmosphere of prayer and communication with God. How many times did you this day communicate with your God? Just ask yourself the question. The God that sent his well-beloved to save you. The God who has saved you from hell and the darkness of the everlasting pit of burning. Did you spend any time with him today? Did you rise in the night and take your Bible and have in the dark moments of the night a time of communion with the Lord? God is looking for communion with his people. And here we are told we're to take heed. And then we have this wonderful little proverb of the Son of Man. A man taking a far journey who left his house, who gave authority to his servant. To every man he gave his work and commanded that the porter was to watch. The most important thing is to work for Jesus and to watch for Jesus. Oh, what a depth of truth is in this verse 34. Notice the title of Christ here is not the Son of God, but the Son of Man. There is a reason for that, because all that he asks us to do are something that man can do. There's nothing in that verse outside the possibility that you can do it. We can recognize the work that he wants us to do. And we can recognize the call to watch, the praying. Oh, that God will give us tonight that spirit of prayer and of supplication. And look at verse 35. That is repeated. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning. So you need to stay awake. What a terrible thing if at midnight you're asleep. What a terrible thing if at eventide you're asleep. What a terrible thing if at the cock crowing you're still sleeping, and in the morning you're still sleeping. Or are you wide awake, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping? Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say he finds you sinning. Or he doesn't find you in bad company. No. But he finds you a doing nothing Christian. God sent his Son to show his people that God is a worker. And Christ said, I work hitherto, and my Father worketh. God is looking not for loafers, He's looking for laborers. That's what He wants you to be, a laborer in His house of service. Watch ye therefore, keep awake. Not keep awake if we play about with the world, the flesh and the devil. Well, not keep awake if we make parley with the things that are wrong. No. But in blessed fellowship with Him, we'll not want to go to sleep. I remember when I was a boy, there was one night I never wanted to sleep, and that was Christmas Eve. I never wanted to sleep. And I used to pinch myself. And I used to say, keep awake. And then I'd have fallen over, and then I would have put out my hand, and I felt the end of the bed, and discovered that the sock that was there was now filled with the goodies that were keeping me awake in my imagination. There's not many people wide awake today to what it's going to be like to receive from the Lord's hand all the glory that He has for His people. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. And He has one last word for us. And it's watch. Watch. What are you doing? I'm watching. My grandmother on my mother's side was a very godly lady, well known for her godliness and holiness. And at times, she used to go into her bedroom, and when her children followed her in, they would say, Mommy, why are you in here? She says, I'm just in here to consider that my Lord and my Savior is coming again. And I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for His call. For one day I'm going higher to meet Him. And her children, when they were very tiny, used to say, Mommy is in the bedroom. She's waiting for the Lord to call her. What a testimony. And her life shone. And the people said, if ever there was a woman that knew God, she knew God. And if ever there was a woman that showed out the righteousness of Christ, she did. I say unto you all, watch. May God help us to be blessed from His word and to hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against Him.